I had some visitors, my wife and I and daughter had some visitors from Trinidad this last August. And when I emailed them and asking them what they would, what do they want to see when they were here in Wisconsin, in Trinidad in the West Indies, and they said one of the first items on the list was they wanted to go to a county fair. There are no such things as county fairs in Trinidad, but there sure are here in Wisconsin, and as a matter of fact, across the entire country. It was August, and the nearest one was the Dodge County Fair. We went to it and had a wonderful time. And I thought about that as I was reading the book that we'll be talking about now, America's County Fairs, Purebred and Homegrown America's County Fairs, published by Drake Hawkinson and Carol Kratz of La Crosse. They are the authors and did a great job of traveling across the country and sort of documenting what goes on at county fairs across our great land, including, obviously, places here in Wisconsin. So we have them with us and really pleased to welcome Drake Hawkinson and Carol Kratz to the microphones today. Drake, Carol, thank you for being with us today. Really appreciate it.
Good morning, Larry. It's our pleasure.
Yeah, thank you.
Well, I've enjoyed looking through and reading your book. It's been a lot of fun because county fairs, I think county fairs are kind of a part of the fabric of this entire state, are they not?
Well, not just the entire state, of course, but the entire country. One of the things that we discovered as we began to look at the county fair is how much county fairs across the country express that kind of great Jeffersonian idea of the yeoman farmer who becomes a king of his own kingdom or her own kingdom in the modern age, and is intelligent and learned, but takes part in the greater democracy. We found the county fair anywhere was really kind of an expression of some of these great fundamental ideas about the American country.
Well, do you think the media get it wrong when they write about the giant pumpkin and maybe the five-legged cow stories that you see at a county fair? They're ignoring some things there, aren't they? As you say,
well, I think there's a lot more depth to the county fairs than maybe gets expressed, and county fairs across the country have lots of similar elements. But we also went looking for those things that were unique to individual fairs. And, of course, many of us only go to our own county fair and love it for what it is and look forward to it every year. But we also want people to begin looking at county fairs across the country, their neighboring counties, or maybe when they're on a road trip somewhere, stop in at the county fair. That's how we got started, and it became a passion.
There's something deeper about the county fair than most of the kind of media portrayals. If you work for the local paper, of course, you have to list the winning entries in the pie contest and whose sheep was better than somebody yeah. else's sheep. But there's really more to it. There's a longstanding tradition and a deep kind of pattern of history to these things, and really extraordinary family and individual stories that don't necessarily make news or aren't necessarily oddities like deep-fried Snicker bars on a stick, but are very important somehow to this greater thing. And we were looking quite often for that which was universal about the fair, that which was important but not necessarily newsworthy.
I haven't given the phone number yet, so let me do that right now. If you'd like to join in with a question or maybe an experience to share of your own about county fairs, we'd love to hear from you. The number is 1-800-642-1234, 800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org as well, and we can get you on the air or read your email question very promptly. Well, you talked about things that are what are similarities? You said there are similarities and there are things that are unique. Well, let's talk about similarities of county fairs across the country. Go ahead, Carol. Sorry.
That's okay. One of the very basic elements that we found was there has to be competition at the fairs. And this is what distinguishes fairs from festivals and other celebrations that communities have. But there's always competition at the fair. And that's been true through the entire almost 200 years of fairs that have been going on here in America, of agricultural fairs. And the competitions range from, you know, pretty serious competition where people are vying for the title of grand champion dairy cow to kind of silly competitions. And one of the competitions that we experienced was a minnow race, for instance. And you can imagine how that went. But competition is really basic to the fair. And it's often friendly competition. And we tell a story, for instance, of a mother whom we saw come into the county fair office at a fair at Jefferson Township.
Pennsylvania.
In Pennsylvania. And she came in and said she wanted to complain. And that was that she got third place in the pie baking contest. And it was her children who got first and second place. And they wanted to kid her because that had happened a couple years in a row. And they kidded her that year because it's a small fair. And actually, there might have been a fourth entry that year. And they kidded her that she might not have won a ribbon at all if someone else had. So it's often a way of people relating to each other and having poking fun at each other. And those who win get bragging rights for the rest of the year until next year's county fair.
So that competition is there are other things too, Drake.
Yeah, livestock is important. I don't think you can have a county fair without livestock, and that involves competition usually as well. That distinguishes it from a festival. And, of course, the country has many fantastic festivals, and they're all worth going to. But that element of livestock and that real connection to agriculture and horticulture is what makes a fair. Another element is this notion that it should be held on a fixed fairgrounds every year. That was a real early idea, rather than they being the carnival, which might show up and set up on a vacant lot. The fair has to have a fairgrounds where there are some facilities, some permanent or semi-permanent facilities. And that was, again, an early idea. That is another thing that makes a county fair a county fair. As we talk to people, we would ask, well, what? How do you know when it's a county fair and when it's not? Well, the obvious answer is when it has county fair in the name, but there are many events that don't carry that name. And everybody always said, well, you know it when you see it. There's no question about this is a county fair and that is not. And that was true in any state we traveled to.
Well, I'm just thinking about our county and our county, Dane County, for example. There's right. The Dane County Fair and there's the Stoughton Junior Fair. And I would consider right. the Stoughton Junior Fair to kind of also be a county fair. It's got
sure.
the competition and very similar.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely, yeah. And we looked at the county fair because there have been books written on state fairs, and state fairs are a wonderful part of our greater American culture. But we felt that the county fair had sort of been ignored, and we took it on to look at this smaller component in the agricultural fair world, and we're quite glad we did.
Where were you when you first thought of doing this book? Were you at a fair?
Well, we weren't no. at a fair, as a matter of fact. We had been to many fairs as we traveled through the states, and Drake and I like to put the tent and the camp box in the car and just head out. And we'd visited lots of county fairs just for fun and tried to observe them, and we were discussing them when we were on a long hike. So we were out of the country and on a 10-day hike, and anyone who's hiked that way knows you have lots of time on your hands.
Oh,
so
yes.
There's plenty of time for conversation. And we also were remembering that which we missed about America because we'd been gone for a while. And we began to talk about the county fair and how much it really represented an element of America and Americana. And we talked about it long enough that we decided somebody really needed to do a good book about county fairs. And then, maybe a half hour later, we decided that we should do that book about county fairs.
Why not? And you traveled. You did a lot of traveling for this book.
We did. We've estimated that we traveled about 40,000 miles to do this book, and that was over many summers. As you know, fair mm-hmm. season is short. It's
yeah.
only over a couple of months in the summer. And so it required about 10 years of field work. And that's, as we like to say, that's a lot of corn dogs.
That's a lot of corn dogs. And some wonderful photography, which we'll talk about as well with our guest Drake Hokanson and Carol Kratz of La Crosse, authors of Purebred and Homegrown, America's County Fairs, published by Terrace Books. I'm Larry Mueller here on the Ideas Network. Talking about America's County Fairs today with Drake Hokanson and Carol Kratz of La Crosse, authors of the book Purebred and Homegrown, America's County Fairs. It's published by Terrace Books of the University of Wisconsin Press, and we're really pleased to have them with us today. Certainly, if you have a question or a comment or experience to share as we visit with them, give us a call at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And Drake and Carol, we've talked a little bit about the similarities. There's competition. That's certainly true of county fairs. The livestock, certainly, that's true of every county fair. What about, before we go to the phones, what about some unique things that you observed in your travels?
Well, one of the things that we like to observe was what was occurring that was a regional expression of either that area or of agriculture that is regional. The competitions was one of those things that often reflected those changes. And, for instance, one of the competitions we saw was the wild blueberry pie contest that occurred in Alaska. And part of the competition was all of the berries had to be picked in the wild. And, of course, you couldn't hold that competition in many places. But at the Deltana Fair, they had that competition. And just as an aside, I got to be one of the judges of the pie contest.
She's a really good blueberry pie judge. She knows a lot about blueberry pie.
Well, that's a great example. And well, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Well, and at the same fair, they had a competition for handmade mukluks and home canned moose meat, which are things you don't find at very many Wisconsin fairs. But most places we went, there were some kind of specialized sorts of things. For instance, at the Vernon County Fair here in nearby Viroqua, Wisconsin, there are competitions for cookies. What is it, ethnic cookies other than Norwegian? Because I guess Norwegian cookies aren't considered to be ethnic. So you find a lot of these regional variations expressed in our fairs around the country, which is really one of the great charms of the project.
Go ahead. I'm sorry.
The entertainment can also be regional. For instance, rodeo out west is much more common than it would be in the east, although it's spreading to the east as well because since we're a culture that kind of blends itself, we have those things happening. But, for instance, we saw oxen pull on the eastern fairs, and that is something that hasn't spread too much to the west. At the very earliest fairs in America, and they originated in Massachusetts, the very first fair occurred there. There's still a lot of oxen pulling going on. So that was a regional expression that we saw.
And you have, I should mention, before we go to the phones here, I should mention that we have some wonderful photography. Did you do the photography? I mean, there are some older pictures, but a lot of beautiful color photography of the fairs you visited.
Yep, we did. We did all the photography as well. I came into this as a writer and photographer, and Carol's an excellent writer and editor. I think most of the photographs are mine. I teach, among other things, teach photography at Winona State, and so it was kind of a natural sort of project for me. But Carol could be seen handling cameras and making photographs that appear in the book as well. So it really was a completely co-authored project.
We're pleased that it. Is a full-color book. We felt
beautiful.
That the fair is really a very visual subject, and we're so pleased that the University of Wisconsin Press were able to make it the full-color book that it is.
It needed to be color.
it surely did. And, you know, you spent a fair time in Wisconsin, obviously. Someone said he's pretty sure the Rock County 4-H Fair is the oldest and maybe still the largest in the U.S. Any idea on that?
Well, it may be. I have to say we haven't been to that fair yet. We like to say that because I know we'll keep going to fairs. But it may well be that it's the oldest in Wisconsin.
In Wisconsin, yeah.
There are very old fairs across the country, and we liked and even described in the book this idea of what fairs like to say about themselves. And there's this idea of primacy. And a fair might express itself as being the oldest in the state or the oldest east of the Mississippi or the longest continuous running fair. And then there are things that are a little less less impressive maybe, but they might say we're the biggest little fair in Wisconsin, as they say at the Calumet County Fair in eastern Wisconsin. So they're the biggest little fair in Wisconsin.
Which is a great thing.
Oh, it's a wonderful story. Well, Deb in Sparta has a question or comment. Deb, hello.
Hello. I just was wondering if the authors would be able to talk about their experience with competitions related to vehicles and motor power, like tractor pulls and demolition derbies, and wondering what their thoughts were the first time they saw a demolition derby, which is one of my family's favorites.
Okay.
Well, I have to admit, I don't know if Carol shares this necessarily, but I have to admit I'm kind of a Renaissance guy in that I like both opera and demolition derby, which isn't something too many can say. And I find demolition derby to be quite fascinating and very entertaining, and I tend to gravitate toward it at fairs. And this is, of course, a tie-in with the longstanding tradition at fairs. It used to, of course, be horse racing, and with the advent of the automobile, the first automobiles had hardly been out of the tinkerers' garages when people started competing with them. And so automobiles began to appear on tracks at county fairs all across the country. It's a natural offshoot of this. And so it's only a reasonable thing that they would appear at fairs because right away people in agriculture adopted motorized vehicles, whether tractors or trucks or automobiles, as part of their work. And so it's a very natural thing to have something like tractor pulls, these big spirited tractor pulls that make so much noise at fairs and add so much, frankly, to the atmosphere. I find it quite wonderful and very exciting. And most enjoyable for us, I think, as it relates to the motorized events, which fair managers refer to as iron on the track, which is a great term, I think. Were the antique tractor pulls, when people would get the old John Deere's and the Farmalls out and pit them against a big sled of weights. And you had a lot of young competitors and people who had a lot of fierce brand loyalty. And I found, and I think Carol did too, that this was one of the most fascinating parts of the modern fair.
Well, and here's a quote from Robert Frederick, who's the secretary of the Vernon County Fair in Viroqua, Wisconsin. And he said, "Yeah, we got demo derby tonight. For the life of me, I can't understand why people would pay money to see people crash cars together. But it's the only time we fill the grandstand, and it's the only time we charge for the grandstand," he said. "We could charge anything, and it'd fill up."
Well, I know the Dodge County Fair has one as well. Oh, man. Well, that's good. Deb, thank you very much for calling. And let Nancy in Ewan, Michigan is up next. Nancy, hi.
Hi there. I've got a funny but true story to relate involving my father-in-law, who grew up in Caldwell, Georgia, back in the 1920s. And he grew up on a farm, and one of his cows disappeared, and they were looking and looking for it. And it turned up in the judging ring at the local county fair and managed to take first prize. And they have no idea how it got into the judging ring. They assume what happened is a cow was wandering, somebody found it and led it into the ring, and so he took first prize back in the 20s at the Caldwell Fair for a cow he never even entered.
That's terrific. That doesn't happen often.
No, but I think it's one of the beauties of the county fair. Lots of unexpected things can happen, and county fairs are nothing if they're not flexible. So they probably let that happen and celebrated it. So,
well, thank you.
Thanks, Nancy.
Great story.
That's a great story. You can join in, too, by the way, at 1-800-642-1234 or email us at talk@wpr.org. And as a matter of fact, we got an email from Ellen in Winona, Minnesota. She had a nice email here. She said, "I grew up in Milwaukee in the 60s, but I got to spend some summers with an aunt and uncle in Buffalo County, Wisconsin. The best visits occurred during the county fair, when I would accompany my cousins as they showed their stock and vegetables and 4-H projects at the fair. It was an explosion of new sensory information for an urban girl. I fondly remember the food, chiefly corn dogs and orange crush, and all sorts of things that I don't dare eat anymore. You can you can bet my cousins are going to get a copy of this book for Christmas this year. That's from Ellen in Winona, Minnesota.
That's great.
That's a great story.
We do argue in the book that the county fair is one of the last great full sensory experiences in our mediated lives today on computers and television and cell phones and iPods. We miss those kind of natural, unpredictable experiences that the county fair can provide. There's probably more just rich sensory stuff going on at the fair than probably any place else I can think of.
I would agree. Maddie in Waupaca, your turn. Hi, Maddie.
I wish that there was still more horse racing at the county fairs. When I was a little girl in the 1940s, I grew up on the Oneida Indian Reservation, and the Seymour, the Outagamie County Fair was held at Seymour, which was close by.
Yes.
And my brother used to race one of our horses in the Outagamie County Fair, and my mother told me that there was one time when the horse got crowded and it jumped the rail and then it jumped back into the race again and came in second.
These are stories that carry on.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for calling. Appreciate your call. You know, I just want to go back to the photography again for a minute, Drake, because I think it's so often here you capture – as I look at all the county fairs I've been to, you so capture those moments that a person sees at the county fair so very, very well. And I really have to applaud that.
Well, that's very kind. And as we took photographs and edited photographs, one of the things that we were very aware of is this idea of presenting that which is in some senses both unique but also universal about the fair, to try and bring some feeling of that sensory experience to people as they looked at the book. We find that as people look at it, they will very, very quickly project themselves into it, which is really one of the reasons we did it, so that people would see themselves in their own fair in the book. And people would say, that looks just like the food booth I used to eat at, or see that little girl there with that sheep? That was me. We hear these stories again and again. And most of us, whether we're urban, suburban, or rural people, have some connection to a fair someplace and usually have a story about it. And we were privileged, quite privileged, to be able to tease a lot of these stories out of the people we talked with.
Where did you go in Wisconsin to see the county fairs, and including your book?
We spent quite a bit of time at the Vernon County Fair in Viroqua and found it to be a really strong traditional fair. The caller before was talking about horse races, and actually the Vernon County Fair still has harness racing, and you can sit in the historic grandstand, wooden grandstand, and be accompanied by the tunes from the community band as they play between the heats of the harness races at the Vernon County Fair in Viroqua. We also went to the Sheboygan County Fair, and we used to live in Sheboygan, and experienced it in all of its dairy richness. It was just full of dairy, just dairy competitions of all sorts, and lots of dairy in the food, cream puffs and cheese curds, deep fried cheese curds, cheese sandwiches you could get at the Sheboygan County Fair, which we didn't see anyplace else. We were at the Calumet County Fair, which is in the east part of the state, and really experienced a lot of tradition there as well. And then, Drake, you want to talk about a couple more?
Well, then also Trempealeau County and La Crosse County fairs. And people will frequently ask us, well, have you been to this fair or that fair? And Carol's answer I like to adopt, and that is not yet. And there's something on the order of 2,230 county fairs by our estimation in the country. And, of course, we're only able to get to a small sample of them, some 90 of them. And so thus our interest is in continuing to go to county fairs until we've either gone to them all or can't get up and go anymore.
Well, that's great. So there's at least five. How did you pick? Was this sort of a random? And it couldn't have been random because of the nature of county fairs. How did you select the county fairs from around the country?
Well, it was random in a certain sense of the word. Rather than looking for the biggest fairs or the smallest fairs or people's idea of what the best fairs were, we had to and were happy to kind of take them as we could find them. We would identify a section of the country during a given fair season, which, as you know, is about 6 weeks long.
Yeah.
And we would get out the road atlas and a guide, a published list of fairs, and identify fairs that were happening during certain weeks, and then simply mark up the road atlas, and
sure.
we would highlight them by week, and we would then go connect the dots. And I remember driving – this was before Montana had speed limits – driving at 95 miles an hour across this part of the state of Montana to get from one fair to another, simply because we didn't want to miss the rodeo. And so we often would go in a week to four or five fairs. The shortest we'd spend at a fair might be a couple of hours. Some fairs we got to, there really wasn't much going on. It was maybe early in the week and things were not happening yet. Some fairs, I think the longest we stayed at a fair, Carol, wasn't it something 3 or 4 days?
Mm-hmm.
And we would take them as we found them. And rather than try and look for the most spectacular or what have you, we wanted to get the average. And we found the average to be quite wonderful.
Yeah. Lance,
when we arrived at a fair. Oh, I'm sorry,
No, go ahead, Carol. Go ahead, Carol.
When we arrived at a fair, we had a technique of first getting the published information. That would be the premium book, so we could see what was happening. And then after that, we'd present ourselves at the fair office, and we'd tell them who we were and what we were up to, so they would know. And then we would ask them the question, what should we see or who should we meet at your fair? And they always had wonderful answers, and it led us to the really rich parts of their fair. And that allowed us to meet, for instance, someone like Mildred Davey, who is a woman who, at the Tillamook County Fair in Oregon, broadcast radio live from the fair every year for decades and decades. I think almost 50 years she did that. And so it was their introduction that led us to her. So.
That's wonderful. Lance in Brown Deer, I want to give you a chance to get on. Lance, hello.
Hi. I enjoy your show very much and listen as often as I can. I grew up in Fontana and used to submit artwork to the Walworth County Fair, which is one of the oldest and certainly one of the largest of the fairs. Just a fantastic thing. In fact, we were there again on Labor Day this year. I can't tell you how much I enjoy going to that. In fact, I enjoy that more than I do the State Fair because the State Fair doesn't have any machinery on exhibit.
Well, two things about that. One is the Walworth County Fair figures in the book, even though we've not yet visited it. We found I believe it was a circa 1912 BA thesis at the Wisconsin Historical Society that was a historical treatment of the Walworth County Fair, which was really gave us a wonderful picture of the fairs in the Midwest in the middle to late 19th century. So the Walworth County Fair plays a nice role in the book. And the other point about machinery is an interesting one. One of the ways we tracked the agriculturalness of any given fair was by the amount and kind of machinery that showed up at the fair. And we know that many fair managers work quite hard to provide or to get dealers to bring machinery to the fair. And it's getting harder and harder as farmers get fewer and fewer. Machinery sales, of course, are down, and so there's fewer opportunities to sell. And the strongest agricultural fairs, that is the agricultural component being strong, tended to be those that had good machinery displays. And it is a sad thing to see that lot where the machinery displays once were and see that, well, now we're parking cars on it. It's a change in the fair. It's a change in agriculture.
Yeah.
Well, and the Walworth County Fair, Elkhorn happens to be the site of training for harness racing. And so they have a lot of harness races during the week. Tractor pulls, although I find the horse team pulling much more interesting and I think more difficult than just revving the motor and seeing how far you can go.
Yeah.
I believe that the Walworth County Fair dates to 1843, so it's older than the state. And it did travel around a bit. I think it was in Dillon for a while, but it's been in Elkhorn, I would guess, well over a century. Just an excellent, excellent place. And we find exhibitors there that we find nowhere else. We went looking for little puzzles that have our granddaughter's names, and wouldn't you know, they had both of them, and they're both very unusual names. So.
Great story. Thank you, Lance, for calling. I want to give Bryce a chance from Arkansas, Wisconsin. Bryce, hi to you.
Yes, good morning. I have a story I'd like to share, if I may. Close to 20 years ago, I worked for a small-town weekly newspaper, and my boss sent me to take photos of the 4-H meat animal auction at the county fair. And this was a... He would then take the pictures of the 4-H kid and their steer or whatever, and then sell it to the business who had bought this, and he made a tidy profit on it. So I was there at the ringside, and they'd auction off the animal, and then they'd lead the animal off, and then the kid who owned the animal would come and had raised the animal would come and stand in front of it, and I'd take their picture. And my boss's arch rival from the paper across town was there taking the pictures too, and so we, got the big steers and the hogs and the big expensive animals were first, and then there were the goats and the chickens. But anyway, I had my son, who was about 8 years old at the time, there to help me, I told him, your job is to change film in the camera, and you got to be fast. So. We got done with the first roll of film. I handed my camera to him, and he was kind of panicked, and he opened the back of the camera without rewinding the film.
Oh man.
Happens to them all.
One of the great stories. Well, yeah, it wouldn't happen much today with our digital cameras,
right,
would it?
Right.
Did you use it? Oh, that's a wonderful story. Well, I really appreciate you being with us today. This has been a lot of fun for me. It was certainly a lot of fun for me to go through your book, and I enjoyed it very much. And county fairs are great, and I bet you guys are going to be visiting a few more.
We will indeed.
we love to hear about the ones we haven't been to yet, so it gives us something to plan for.
And now someone needs to buckle down and do a book on Wisconsin's county fairs. We wanted to take a look at the whole state, it's time for somebody to really, really jump in and do a book primarily on Wisconsin's fairs, because this is a very strong, very good fair state, and there are a lot of good fairs out there that really need to be documented and those stories told in detail.
Well, thank you both very much for being with us today. Drake Hokanson and Carol Kratz of La Crosse, authors of Purebred and Homegrown, America's County Fairs, published by Terrace Books of the University of Wisconsin Press. My thanks to them, and my thanks to you for being with us. And stay with us. Lots in store on the Ideas Net.